the
Roadshow! It's the radio
for
Roadshow!
From the old fire station, Oxford!
And hello, Oxford!
I'm Neil Mullarkey.
I'm Nick Hancock.
And I'm Tony Hawkes.
And it's quite good to be here in the old fire station in Oxford.
Well, I'm afraid this is the very last roadshow of the series. Oh. Yeah, but this week we've got the audience to say hello every time we say Oxford.
And the sad thing is they've agreed to do it.
And we're really thrilled to be here at the old fire station in Oxford, albeit we had to slide in down that pole when we came here.
And it's easy to tell that this building is an old fire station because it clearly dates from the time before fire engines, or in fact any form of firefighting equipment, was invented.
Yes, in the event of an inferno sweeping through Oxford, the firefighters of the old fire station would have had at their disposal a small studio theatre and a nice cafe full of Holford cakes and rolls.
Yes, so here we are on the final leg of the end of the roadshow. Radio 4's attempt to appeal to a young audience countrywide by taking a touring roadshow to over three different towns.
BBC Radio 4.
Well, the series has been fun, hasn't it, Neil?
Yes, it's been quite good overall, yes, Tony.
So what have we got planned this week?
Well, exactly the same as all the other weeks, Tony. A shoddy competition, off-the-cuff repartee with the audience, a look at the problems of being young, and facts about the town we're in.
This is a very interesting fact.
The city of Oxford has been a fertile garden from which many talents have grown. Prime Minister William Gladstone, scientist Robert Boyle, wit and playwright Oscar Wilde, that's life presenter Doc Cox, Drew Eldridge from the Sisters of Mercy, who all shared a house together near the penultimate picture palace.
And the city is a close neighbour of Woodstock, the site of the American late 60s rock festival.
Oxford was chosen as the ideal location for a university by medieval monks because of its excellent range of academic bookshops and large number of kebab vans.
So we know a little about the town. But Oxford isn't the only thing in the world with a reputation for being a bit posh and exclusive. Believe it or not, people have said that about Radio 4 too.
However, in our case, it isn't true. We're going to convince you young people that Radio 4 is the radio station for you because it is so incredibly cool.
Radio 4 is really cool.
Now, let's find out what problem our youth councillor Anne Person is looking at this week.
Thanks, Neil. And this week I'll be looking at problems with drugs. Not just illegal ones. Cigarettes, Valium, chocolate and fur are all kinds of drugs too, as is alcohol.
Alcohol, yes. My friend Ian used to have a T-shirt with a funny joke about that. It said, "I don't have a drink problem. I get drunk, I fall over, no problem."
And that was doubly amusing because Ian had lost his home, job, wife and children as a result of his alcoholism. Hadn't he, Tony?
Yeah, but he could see the funny side there.
But alcoholism is no laughing matter, boys. Someone with a real problem can spend over £100 a week on beer alone. Which is why I always recommend they switch to spirits. They seem more expensive, but whiskey and gin are quicker to take effect, less fattening, and don't forget you can recycle the bottles.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Anne. More drug tips from her later.
Here's another interesting fact.
The residents of Oxford have their own chirpy rhyming slang. Try some of these out on your way home. Mushy peas.
Full crash facilities.
Pork chop.
Mexican craft shop.
Antique pine plop.
Antique pine shop.
Boiled twat.
Liberal Democrat.
Cowley in East Oxford used to be famous for making cars. However, nowadays no one wants cars anymore, and Cowley has found a second career as that Scottish bloke off The Professionals.
Another way of finding out about the town is to visit the magnificently educational Oxford Story Museum. Yes, I can tell. I'm sure everyone here in our audience will vouch for just how good that museum is.
Yes, the Oxford story realistically recreates the authentic historical past of the town, when all the inhabitants travelled the streets in slow-moving mechanised wooden desks.
And today we all desked our way round the Oxford story, and I learned that Adolf Hitler had planned to make Oxford his capital of a conquered Britain, and so issued instructions to his flying henchmen not to bomb the city. This meant the historic heart of Oxford, with its network of cobbled lanes, old people and ancient housing, lay preserved in their original state, until they were knocked down to make way for the Westgate Shopping Centre and the Oxford Story Museum. But there's an easier way to find out about a town than riding around on desks looking at shop window dummies dressed as Lewis Carroll in a bad wig. And that's to flick through the local papers.
The bit in the middle
of the programme. Four.
What I found the most interesting in the Oxford Mail was this little advert here for a tool shop. Its slogan is, Richard Sargent is tools in Oxford. So away with words. For a huge selection of practical presents to suit every pocket, with prices from 50p to £1,000. Who buys tools for £1,000? But his best idea is his Christmas idea he's got, which is, still stuck for Christmas ideas? Give a tool voucher. How romantic can you get?
Thank you there to the editor of the Oxford Mail.
Drinking. Drink can make us offend and upset people we've never met before, lash out in violence against those we love, and run around the streets with our vests off and a traffic cone on our heads. And society has been outraged again and again by the behaviour of popular celebrity drunks like Oliver Reed, George Best, Princess Margaret and Ted Kennedy.
So you're saying we should all moderate our intake of the old city juice then, Anne?
Not exactly, Tony, no. There are few people I find more sad than moderate drinkers. If you are going to drink, at least drink a lot. Make a lifestyle out of it. I mean, who would you rather be out on the town with, Tony? Keith Moon or moderate drinker Magnus Magnusson?
Well, Magnus Magnusson, I think, Anne. I mean, Keith Moon would be a bit smelly now.
Drinking makes us witty and interesting. It makes us more attractive. It improves sexual performance. And its ultimately fatal effects lend a drinker's life an aspect of doomed beauty that Magnus Magnusson and his moderate drinker chums could never hope for.
This behaviour is just exactly the sort of pathetic thing that the townsfolk of Oxford have come to expect from the students. Oxford locals really dislike the fact that year by year, a load of outsiders arrive in their city and steal all their children's places in the local educational establishments. In 1354, for example, they quite reasonably shot 300 students with bows and arrows in the St. Scholastia's Day Massacre after two students complained about the wine in the Swindlestock Tavern. So, is there still animosity between town and gown? Of course there is. But anyway, I'm going out and about this week to see if I can stir it up a bit more. See you later.
Bye then, Nick.
Well, now it's time for our roadshow competition.
Hooray! Yes. Regular listeners will be aware that so far our competitions have been poorly conceived, embarrassing for everyone concerned, and all our contestants have stood to win is a single plastic Radio 4 key fob.
But this week, as it's the last week of the series, all that's changed. We've got hundreds of bumper prizes to give away in our brand new poorly conceived and embarrassing competition. Double your key fob!
That's good!
That's right. Now, what's your name?
Kate.
Kate, would you like to be a contestant for us?
Okay.
Round of applause for Kate. Let's welcome Kate. Come on, Kate.
Now, Kate, what makes this competition different from the others is that we start by giving you a key fob.
There you are, Kate. That key fob is all yours. No one can take it away from you. But the question is, do you want to try and double that key fob for the mystery prize, which is behind this sheet?
Yes!
Yes. Few people don't want you to, Kate, but you have done just the same.
Well, to win the next prize, you simply have to answer an Oxford-based question.
Shelley was a student at University College before being sent down for writing heretical pamphlets, and a statue of him stands in the cloisters. But what we want to know is, how tall is actor Howell Bennett, who plays Shelley in the ITV sitcom of the same name? Some thinking music now.
5'7".
Kate, let's have your answer now. Don't listen to that answer, especially 175, which is the cost of a pint of beer in expensive clubs. Kate, how tall is Shelley?
5'9".
Absolutely correct, Kate! Brilliant. So, let's just see what your double your key fob prize is.
Two Radio 4 key fobs.
Kate, now, the problem is, do you want to risk that prize and attempt to double up your two key fobs for a better mystery prize? You going to take that risk, Kate?
I'll take it.
Come on! What a sport you really are, and the audience are quite whipped up into a frenzy here. The next question, then. Brown's Restaurant is a popular Oxford eating place, but can you name two or three other popular brown things? Here's some thinking time. And let's have your answer now, Kate.
A pair of brown shoes.
Absolutely correct, Kate!
Are you studying philosophy?
No, I'm not.
Well... Yep, your loves. Next double your key fob Radio 4 prize is...
Four Radio 4 key fobs and a copy of last week's script that we don't need anymore.
But we're giving you the chance, Kate, to gamble those prizes for our star prize. And I promise you, it's a corker, it really is. You've got the time it takes Neil here to revolve to tell me if you want to gamble your fobs away or not.
I have begun revolving now, Tony.
OK, Kate's having a think. Do you want to go for this, Kate? Do you think she should do it, Oxford?
Yes!
I have revolved! Now, Kate, what is your decision?
I'll take a chance.
Let's have the star prize question.
The home of Robert Maxwell, now sadly empty. Stands on Headington Hill. But can you name another sort of Maxwell house?
Coffee.
You've said coffee. Oh, dear, listen to that sound.
Oh, dear, no, you're guessing. You could have had Robert Maxwell's home in America, London, Paris, at the bottom of the sea, or several acres of a Jerusalem cemetery. Oh, dear, never mind. But, of course, you see, no human being could live in a hot drink, could they?
Coffee, Kate, I don't know. But let's, Kate, this, the fun's not over, because let's see what you would have won.
And, Kate, you would have won a 15-month cruise around the Caribbean, a brand-new 1972 Morris Marina car, £600,000 cash, and 8 Radio 4 key fobs.
Oh, bad luck, Kate. It looks like you're going away empty-handed, but what do we say? A round of applause for Kate, yes! Well, let's see how Nick is getting on in his attempt to find out what the people of Oxford think of their lordly interlopers. Nick?
Well, here I am in the Westgate Shopping Centre, the commercial hub of Oxford, and I'm going to see if I can find out from a few of the townsfolk how they feel about the students. Excuse me, sir, do you notice a lot of students about? Do they get in your way?
No, they don't actually get in the way. Crowd the pavements a lot for that.
Crowding on the pavements. Do you think this could lead to an incident of any sort?
Well, it depends on the persons involved, doesn't it?
That's right, because I don't know whether you knew, but a few hundred years ago, 300 students were killed by the people of Oxford, not the whole of the people of Oxford.
Well, I don't think it'll get that bad. Maybe the odd push will be
shot. Do you think it should be settled once and for all, and maybe a few of the top students and a few of the people from the town should say, let's sort this out?
Well, I don't think they can sort it.
They could perhaps have a fight, though, to settle it once and for all, and get some of the harder students, some of the harder groups in the town.
You're rather vicious in your way, aren't you?
Well, I'm just wondering if that settle it once and for all. You don't think this should happen?
No, I don't think so.
OK, well, thanks very much for your help.
Excuse me, sir, can you tell me, are you anything to do with the university, sir?
No.
Have you ever seen any incidents, isolated incidents, skirmishes, trouble, anything involving weaponry between students and the tennis firm?
You do see the groups of students, and people do look wary when they see them.
How wary do they look? Well, on a scale of, say, 1 to 10?
I'd say 9.5.
9.5, really. Say there was a group of lads, maybe 3 lads, they see a group of about 20 students singing songs about, I don't know what they sing songs about, rowing and Latin or whatever they sing about. I think they might wade in.
It's a possibility.
Have you heard any particular phrases that stick out that make you feel like that?
I've heard some people calling them bunches of wankers.
Would you say they're as clever as they make out? Take your time. See, that's always been the trouble with the truth, hasn't it? It's boring. So let's get out there, sow a few lies and see what trouble we can stir up for ourselves. Nick Hancock, BBC Radio 4 on the war-ravaged streets of Oxford.
OK, Nick, we'll join you again in a minute.
Smoking. Doctors say that smoking cigarettes leads to 13 million deaths a year in Surrey alone. And thousands of smoke and matchbox-related diseases. If you want to stop, here's how. Don't buy cigarettes. And if someone offers you one, don't accept it. If you see a half-smoked cigarette floating in a toilet... don't be tempted to put it in your mouth. If you still find yourself with a cigarette between your lips, chew it up and swallow it before a stray spark or flame can ignite it.
Here's another interesting fact.
On May morning, all Oxford students dress up in black tie and ball gowns and gather on Magdalen Bridge to drink champagne and take drugs. So far, none of the townspeople have seen the opportunity for a bridge over the River Kwai-style accident, but surely it is only a matter of time. Well, the townsfolk of Oxford have yet to take their revenge on the student body in this century, but let's see how Nick's getting on in finding out whether the students are prepared to have a go or not.
There's been claims made by a student body last week that the people of Oxford are obstructive and aggressive towards students. Do you think this means more violence? Because there has been an upturn in the last 2 weeks.
I've noticed that. I go in Oxford quite a lot. I don't actually like going out in Oxford anymore.
You've noticed the upturn in violence, yeah. There's been reports of a rather sick escalation in bows and arrows being used.
I haven't heard that before, but where would you conceal a bow and arrow?
Well, I know, it's amazing, but apparently they're not even bothered concealing. I mean, it's virtually martial law happening at the moment.
Right, I'm stopping coming to Oxford if they're going to play like cowboys and Indians.
All right, thanks very much for your help. Are you a student?
Yes.
What do you think about the news that there's a couple of pubs who are getting together, a gang, to possibly infiltrate some of the colleges? How do you feel? Have you heard anything about that?
I've heard a little bit about it, not a lot, I must admit. I mean, there's always a small majority, sort of like everywhere you go, where they're always in for trouble anyway and always looking for trouble.
What sort of weaponry have you heard about?
The actual weaponry-wise?
Yeah.
I think they do talk about, are we going to knife this one, or are we going to do this, or are we going to do that? But, I mean, majority of the time, really, it's all mouth, to be honest.
Have you heard anything about bows and arrows?
No, I haven't heard anything about arrows.
I don't know whether it's crossbows, but no. I've heard anything about... How would you go about, if you were confronted by a gang of lads with bows and arrows, how would you protect yourself, would you think? Did you bring anything to university with you that perhaps you could use?
Yeah, I mean, I have got a snooker cue, but I mean, I have to go off a snooker, but I suppose...
It's your purpose, then, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right, well, thanks very much for your help. That's great. Bye-bye. OK, well, we seem to be some way towards arranging some sort of a fight between the students and the tennis player. Maybe we can settle it once and for all. So back to you in the studio.
Here's another interesting fact.
Oxford's philosophers and students have been arguing for centuries over the existence of a god. But all the while, the answer has been staring them in the face. There is no god. Because if there was, you'd be able to buy one in Boswell's. Oxford's largest independent department store.
There are many slightly confusing terms and expressions which are obsolete elsewhere, but are still in use in Oxford.
Yes, a typical Oxford student will put on his sub-fusc, or gown and mortarboard, to pay his battles, or rent, and tip his scout, or cleaning lady.
The funds for this would come from his trapeze mouse, or overdraft. Arranged by his cutnunt, or bank manager. Payment would be at the beginning of each lethargy fraud, or term. And be complemented by an arse-wiping bitch mother, or top-up loan.
Radio 4 really is cool.
And finally, before we go, we've got some excellent local acts to perform for you tonight. So please welcome the first act, Brian Annoying.
My name is Brian Annoying. Brian Annoying. Brian Annoying. Brian Annoying. Brian Annoying. Brian Annoying. So you spell that B R I A N A N N O. I forgot my middle name. That's Ronald McNebuchadnezzar, named after the famous biblical hamburger merchant, of course. So all together then, all together then, all together then, that's B R I A N R O N A. I can't be bothered. So in a way, I've ruined the joke for you. So in a way, I win. Isn't it annoying? Isn't it annoying when you turn up to a party and there's someone there wearing the same dress as you? And it's too tight, because it's only made for one. And there's three people in it already, because you're a Siamese twin. Very annoying, that. I was on my way down the street to annoy you here tonight when I tripped over this bloke lying down, naked, sunbathing. So I said, look, bloke, sunbathing in November can be dangerous. Do you burn easily? He said no. So I picked up his can of petrol, poured it all over him, set him on fire. So that shouldn't give you too much trouble then. Then I stood there for 3 hours saying, sorry, sorry. No, I really am. No, I'm really sorry. Oh no, please forgive me. Please, please, please. Eventually he said, okay, I forgive you. Just put me out. And then he died. So I won! Yet again. And further on down the street, I thought I would do a little variation on that joke just to annoy you, sort of reinterpret it. So I started interviewing this bloke for a job. And I said, how do you react under pressure? He said, fine, thank you. So I picked him up, put him in a tank full of concentrated hydrochloric acid at 4 atmospheres pressure. Then I leaned up to the little observation window and in my breath fog I wrote, sorry, 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 for 3 hours, but I can't be bothered to tell you the rest of that one, so in a way I win again. So I'll be going now. So bye. Bye. But before I go, did you know that pork tastes just the same as human flesh? So why don't we eat pork instead? Good night.
Thank you, Brian Annoying. Now our final act, William Wicker.
Hey up, I'm William Wicker, me, the voice of reason. And I say they should stop putting misleading signs on houses. I was just walking along the street the other day, minding my own business, when I saw this building with a sign on the side saying, free house. So naturally I thought, I'll have that. But it turns out that I had been misled. In fact, I ended up having to pay for it. So I'm staggering down the street, carrying this blooming house. And it's weighing me down. Not too much, you know. Because I'm quite strong. And then I see this other sign. And it says... But what a stupid way to spell B-U-S-S-T-O-P. That's the worst spelling of I've ever seen. Pathetic. Use your loaf, Britain. Yes, I remember the last time I got off with the Queen. I remember it very well, cos it were Christmas Eve. And we had a right good time necking. And she wakes up the next morning with this massive love bite all round her neck and all up her face. And it's Christmas Day. What could she do but wrap a load of bandages around her head? She goes on telly and she says, "Good afternoon. Excuse the bandages. It's not a love bite, honest. One cut oneself shaving." I've been William Wicker, the voice of reason.
Thank you, William Wicker.
Well, it's hard to believe it, but this is the end of the last End of the Road show.
Yeah, it's time for us to put our comedy clothes away in the locker of laughter until next year.
Have you all had a good time?
Yes, I'm still.
Right, goodbye, Oxford!
Roadshow trivia titles. The End of the Roadshow came from an old fire station in Oxford and was performed by Neil Malarkey, Nick Hancock, Rebecca Front and Tony Hawks. The cool voice of radio was Peter Barker, who is so cool he was first choice for the Tina Turner role in Mad Max 3 Beyond the Thunderdome. The writers Richard Herring and Stuart Lee are now available to write for any other roadshows, including the Antiques Roadshow and the Tom O'Connor Roadshow. Their assistant Armando Iannucci is unique in light entertainment radio as he is diphylactic. The Vox Pop producer was Gloucester Scott, Ex-Woman's Hour Radio 4 Promotion Supremo, Jenny Stewart. The End of the Roadshow was produced by Sarah Smith.